I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Oh, let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Let's start from 3. Last time we started from 4. I said you should open to 4 and I ended up not reading it. Okay? So please, just have mercy on me. I will try and read it today. Now, what we have been discussing is what we want to complete today, and that's the issue of the life of grace. And what we mean by the life of grace is the fact that the grace of God means that the power of God is released into your life to achieve results for Him, to do things that are beyond your own natural ability. When God's power is releasing results into your life, then we say you are walking by the grace of God. So Paul said, I am what I am. That is what I have become in life. I have become that by the grace of God, and it's the working of His power. He says, His power working towards me did not prove in that I labored more than them all. That is, His more senior apostles. But he said, it wasn't me. It was the grace of God working with me. That is, the grace of God is the power of God that works with the believer so as to get results that are in keeping with God's plan for his life. That's what the grace of God is. And listen to me, a man walking by grace, there is no obstacle that is too big for him to surmount. Do you follow my point? You can run through a troop, David said, and leap over a wall. No matter how difficult things appear, you can overcome if God's power is working with you. I attended a dinner yesterday by Oceanic Bank people. They were doing a program, and something they said, the zonal manager made a statement, and he said that their plan is to be bigger. Now, they said many things, but one of the objects they have is to become bigger, listen to this, than Stamp. They mentioned one bank, and this is the important thing about it, that the bank is currently 3 times as big as every Nigerian bank put together, and they said that is their target. I remember the person, were two speakers that were there, me and the other person, both of us just said that, it's possible, it can be done. And I meant it. It's possible, it can be done. And you see, believers will learn to expect miracles. You know, I've said that in again and again. You should learn to expect miracles. You should know that one day something is going to turn your life around. You will find yourself in a place bigger than you ever imagined. Maybe you should go and make a big banner, put it somewhere in your room. Just write on it, Joseph. Don't write more than that. And anytime you look at it, you remember one day he was a prisoner. The next day, he was the most important ruler in the nation after Pharaoh. Just remind yourself, that can happen. And that is what is called the grace of God. Now, grace, that is the power of God, is poured into your life when you are in the center of the will of God. Therefore, it is crucial to the believer that you are always found in the center of God's will. Is that okay? So that's what we've been learning. How do we find ourselves in the center of the will of God? I'm not going to go over all of those things again. Where we were stopped was last time I began to talk about what I call the habit of the art of obedience. That is the ability to obey God without struggles. That discovering what God's will is, okay, is not the most important thing. But being able to do that will that you have discovered, that is more important to God that you do His will without even realizing that that's what you have done, than to have an intellectual knowledge of it, that I know God wants me to go here and you don't go there. You follow what I'm trying to say? So it's more important. And that's why I emphasized something at the beginning, that you see, we shouldn't emphasize, enjoy too much of, and God said to me, and God said to me. I hear it so much, I have gotten tired. A believer should grow every day. I'm not saying God doesn't speak to people. Do you follow me? But sometimes the Spirit of God is just moving you in a particular direction. You turn it to a conversation that God had with you. It wasn't God speaking like that. Well, what I'm going to bring out here is this. So it's more important to you and to me as believers that we flow into the will of God. Do you follow what I mean? That is, if God is moving in a particular direction, without having a conscious knowledge of the fact that God has said clearly, go in this direction, it's more important that you are just growing with what God is doing. You follow what I mean? So that's what I've been emphasizing. That, and how does that come? It's by having your heart in a particular place. It's having your heart well arranged in such a manner that the Spirit of God can take control of your soul. You get what I'm saying, all right? One of the things the Lord helped me with those days was the fact that I always prayed one prayer, and I believe it works for me all the time. I said, look, whatever God needs to do, let Him do it. but I must not miss his will for my life. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, if I have to lose money, let me lose money. If I have to fall sick along the line, let me fall sick. Do you get my point? Whatever he has to do, let him do it so that I will be found in the center of his will. Please let me say it again. The fact that you knelt down until you heard a voice speak to you does not guarantee you that you will succeed in that thing that you want to do. Did you hear what I said? Listen, God is very interesting. Let me explain that again. I'll just take a few minutes and I go into the main thing I want to say today. The fact that God spoke to you, do this, is no guarantee that you will succeed in doing it. Do you follow what I'm saying? You say, what am I talking about? Listen, there are rules that God, you know, you talk about rules of engagement. There are rules of prosperity, in quotes. There are rules of success in anything that you do. So if God speaks, you know what he said? He said, having a knowledge of God's plan and promise, what do? You now begin to cleanse yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Because if you don't do that, even though God speaks, you will not experience the blessing. You won't. Why did it take God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham? Because it took 25 years to bring Abraham's heart to the position in which he could receive Isaac and him not die in his hands early. Because if God forcefully, and maybe out of prayer, you pray something by force into your hands, from the hands of God, you will lose it sharp. It doesn't give you things you can't carry. It is possible. There are so many rules of engagement, like I said earlier, in the realm of the spirit. You can operate one and get something that you can't handle. I have seen anointing kill people. That is, if he had not anointed the man, he would have lived long. Now that he has taken anointing by force, that was where his pride came from. That was where all the troubles of his life commenced. It is a vital prayer, if I pray for you, that may God not bless you beyond that which you can carry. And let me pray it. May God not bless you beyond that which you can carry. Say amen. No? Amen. When God refuses to bless men and women beyond that which they can carry, you know what they do? They now start using their own hands and, you know, other forms of methods to bring the thing by force into their life. Listen, anything you get that is beyond that which God wants to give you will eventually destroy you. Because nobody loves you more than God. You don't love yourself as much as God loves you. You don't. That's a matter of fact. You cannot think thoughts half as good as the one that God is thinking for you. You can't think them about yourself. You don't have the capacity. You follow what I'm saying? Please, let's get that very clear. So, what's very important to us is that we are found as a habit, not by conscious knowledge. When I say conscious knowledge, is that, why are you in Onitsha today? When I woke up in the morning, God said, go to Onitsha, and that's where I am. Now, it can happen. God may speak to you like that when you wake up in the morning. But that's not as important as the fact that your life at all times is lived in a manner pleasing to God. What do I mean by that? Now, this is how you please God. Let me explain to what I mean. How you please God. This is how you please God. Somebody asked me the other day. He said, I talked about blessing. That how can you position yourself in a place where God can bless you? So I asked him, have you read the book, The Blessing? He said, no. I said, go and buy a copy. Now, after that, I said, have you read the book, Choice is Key to Destiny? He said, no. I said, then go and get a copy. Now, I said, in both of them, I explained a principle. Now, what I want to bring out was what I told him, which is in that book, Choice is Key to Destiny. I said, this is how God does it. Every time in life, every day, every so often, you have to make a choice. Do you understand the point? Every time you have to make a choice. Go left or go right. Buy this or buy that. Give this or receive this. All right? Say this or say that. Every time you have to make a choice, that's how you please God. The choices you make each time you have to make a choice. That's what it means to live in a manner pleasing to God. Do you follow the point? That's how you live in a manner pleasing to God. Every day, look, as you are going going on your way in life, the road always bifurcates. And then you either go left or you go right. Now, this is how spiritual things are. It's not as if, you know, what we want to do, all right, is to go and pray and say, God, where do I go? Where do I go? Do I go left or go right? I want to hear a voice say to you, my son, my daughter, turn to the right. And then you say, my spirit spoke. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And angels spoke, whatever it is, then you now go left or right. That's not what God is using to judge you. No, that's not it. It's more of you get to this particular spot, you either turn left or turn right. And then he has given you information, all right, on what makes people turn left or what makes them turn right. Do you understand the point? For example, he may tell you that those who are turning right, they are seeking their own pleasure. They are not ready to take any pain for any period so as to be of service to other people, as an example. He said, but those who go left, they have said that even though it is delayed, the blessings of God come at a time they will not become a curse. So you understand my point? So he said, I'm willing to wait. Now, God will not speak. He reminds you of those informations that he has given to your heart. And I say, now you go one direction. Some will settle down there and start praying, God, where do I turn? God says, I'm not saying anything that I haven't said before. Then you tune a radio one day and somebody will preach that very message. That is, are you thinking of going left or going right? I want you to know tonight that those who are going right are seeking their own pleasure. As soon as you finish, you start praying again because this one does not want to obey. Because you already have enough information to go left or go right. God wants you to decide. You are the one making the choice now. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why you live in a manner pleasing to God. That's what I mean when I say habitually you are walking in fashion pleasing to God. So that one man may say, I am in Onitsha today because God said go to Onitsha. Another one will say, I am in Onitsha today because I remember that I made certain promises to people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Both of them are there according to the will of God. Do you follow? But one person is waiting to hear a voice. Another person, God gives you enough information to get there if you make the correct decisions in a manner that is pleasing to God. So when we talk about pleasing to God, is to use God's ideas and God's thoughts, God's standards to make decisions each particular point in time. Are you following that point? All right, so let's settle down what we are supposed to be teaching today. Now, so we said that issue of the art of obedience. If God speaks to me through different methods, which we have discussed before now, different ways by which God speaks to people, how do I walk according to that which I have heard? Now, let me say something. We said there are two ways by which God speaks. Now, there are a number of ways. The first one, we said that there is what is already recorded, all right, as the will of God. That is that which is recorded in the scriptures. Then even when it goes beyond that which is recorded, there are two ways by which God speaks to people. We said the natural ways and then the supernatural ways. And when we talk about the natural ways, I talked about, for example, about the multitude of counselors in which there is safety. That when you talk to people who understand God maybe more than you do, all right, or your friends, they will give you counsel, which is the interesting part. They are not trying to direct your life. They are just telling you. They are reminding you of that which you actually know already. And the Spirit of God inside you will bear witness concerning that which they are speaking. Do you understand? And I said that beyond that, there are other people that God has placed them in positions of authority in your life. If they speak, do otherwise is disobedience. And he has a just recompense of reward. Do you follow my point? Now, I'm talking about those natural ways by which God speaks. You follow what I'm saying? Now, but then you may have supernatural ways. Like I said, one day God will talk to you. An angel will visit you. You will hear a voice in your ears. God will drop a thought very loud in your heart that when it lands, it will unsettle you. There are things you want to do and the voice of God comes to your heart. A number of you may have experienced it and it unsettles you. And people say that God speaks peace to people's hearts. I said, depends on where your heart is. Do you get my point? If you are planning to go in straight ahead and God says, God wants you to go straight ahead. When he says, go straight ahead, it will be peace. And you suddenly have this assurance that you are going in the right direction because peace just came upon your soul. But listen, if God says stop going and turn back, what you will hear is turmoil. Satan, I rebuke you is the first thing you will say. We have already invested money. You wanted to start a company. You and your friends have put money together. $500,000 amongst four people. That's $2 million. The day before you go to sign the final deal, binding you to them in a partnership for the next 10 years, suddenly the voice of God comes very powerfully. He has tried every method you have refused to understand. He said, this one, I will speak loud. As you're about to enter the car, you hear, my son, don't go. He said, who said anything there? And you find that you're all alone. You're about to enter, he said, I said, do not go. Thou shalt not sign that deal. He said, you, this demon of poverty that doesn't want me to prosper, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I claim my prosperity. Listen, as you sit down in that car, your stomach will start tumbling up and down. I'm telling you, you can't rest again. You rebuke Satan, you suddenly become so unsettled. Is it that God doesn't speak peace anymore? No, he still speaks peace, except that it's only peace to those who are going in his direction. Those he's trying to turn back from their wicked ways. If you know what I mean by wicked now, it doesn't mean you are morally wicked, but from missing the path of God for their lives. Those ones is turmoil. The voice of God speaks to them. You know, the ass that Balaam is riding will suddenly start jamming the wall. It was God that was speaking. The ass is supposed to go in the straight direction. It pins your leg between itself and the wall. Peels off some skin from your body. The Lord is still speaking peace, except that your heart is a heart of trouble. Therefore, you can't hear the peace. You follow what I'm saying? God doesn't always speak that kind of peace. It depends on the situation in which he meets the person's heart. Get that point very clear. Now, what's the message that I said last time? I said, so when you now discover God's will through the different methods, I said something earlier, it's not automatic that you'll be able to obey. No. You can have an intellectual knowledge, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, but you lack the ability to fulfill that which you already know intellectually. And that's what we are discussing. Let me say one of my favorite statements again. Christianity is not the life of struggle. You don't even struggle to obey God. Let me quickly say it so that I can begin to develop it. Christianity is a life of prayer, depending upon God. He said, those that wait of the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait there that Isaiah was saying, he wasn't talking about those who sit down and do nothing and then they renew their strength. Christians say that they are waiting upon the Lord. What do they mean by that? What they mean is that they are fasting. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, to fast is not the same thing as waiting upon the Lord. What Isaiah was talking about. He said, those that wait upon the Lord simply means those that depend upon God for his strength to perform. Do you get what I mean? There's a man, a scholar, Hebrew and Greek scholar, who explained that the word in Hebrew written as wait there, it describes when people are trying to make ropes. That it takes different strands and then you twist it together. You understand? You twist the strands until it becomes very strong. Initially, one strand, you pack many on top of it, you wind them together, then you have a very strong rope. That is, those who wind themselves with God's strength. Do you understand what I mean? You are getting the point there. Those that wait upon the Lord that we are talking about is not those who sit down and do nothing, but those who depend on God for his strength to perform. When it says, say to Zerubbabel, that's a very correct statement. He says, not by power, not by mind, but by what? The Spirit of God. When I told you, when the Oceanic Bank people told me that thing, and they told us there and I heard it, for me, I wasn't even moved. I was, if I have anything, it's a very good vision. It's a very good vision. It's a very good vision. When he was going to bless Jacob, he said, men will serve you. Peoples will serve you. You don't have to labor hard to gather such investments. One day people will gather and give it to you. Say, take. Do you follow what I mean? When God was going to make David a king, he gathered warriors. Listen, physically stronger than David was. And they all assisted him and established him on his throne. And that was God working. Now, I'm going to bring out something. When it even comes to obeying God, we don't need our own strength. We need the strength of God. So how to tap into God's strength is what I'm discussing. Remember what I said last time? That he said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through whom? Through Jesus Christ. I explained the difference. Law is to let us know what is right and what is not right. But grace and truth is to give us the ability to naturally do that which is right and naturally despise doing that which is wrong. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Listen, when Jesus was speaking, let me explain that again. He said, sacrifice and offering you have not desired. He said, I come in the volume of the books it is written of me to do thy will, O my God. What's the next line? He said, thy law is within my heart. You will find that it was quoted from the book of Psalms chapter 40. What he was saying there is simple. When he says, thy law is within my heart, I've explained this to us before, the different use of the word law in the Bible. There are different ways. You talk about the Lord. These are the codes and commandments which were given to Moses as the terms of the covenant. All right, that is one. But there's what he calls the law, talking about a principle, a forceful part of your inner being that works in your members. Do you understand my point? That is why a child born sucks naturally. Doesn't have to be trained. The law of sucking is in his mouth. Do you follow me? And that Jesus, what he was saying is that thy law is within my heart. That there is a spiritual force resident inside me that is pushing me to obey God at all times. Do you follow? So that's what he was saying. So grace is when that force is poured into your soul so that you naturally do that which is in obedience to the will of God. It is not a matter of thou shalt not kill. I don't even hate anybody enough to want to kill him. That's grace and truth. And let me explain, that's what I'm going further into today. That grace can be poured into your life at any time to face any challenge. Do you understand? You know, one of the strongest things you must learn as a believer is to literally, this time around, wait for God. Different from waiting on the Lord for strength. That is, wait for God to fulfill his promise in your life. It's one very important thing you must learn as a believer. You know, those days I used to wonder that, how could Abraham have waited for 25 years? This man get patience. Then I discovered later that Abraham didn't wait for 25 years. And that's how your life would be also. It's not a wait for 25 years. You know how long he waited for? One day at a time. Each day was a waiting period. They were not added together. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Listen, for him, 25 years is not a long time. It wasn't a long time. It was one day that kept on accumulating after another day. Please, I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. It was the addition of one day to the next. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. That this is how grace works. He gives you the strength. That's why Jesus taught people to pray. Pray like this. Give us what? This day. The bread is what? Daily. Our daily bread. We need enough strength to handle the challenges for one more day. And that's what God gives. Now, I'm going to bring out something. So sometimes when you read the story that people obeyed God, somebody was imprisoned for his faith for 20 years. Do you follow? Abraham waited this length of time. Somebody believed God. Let's even talk about contemporary things that you hear story that, T.D. James was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. All those years, suddenly became very well known. How did he manage to just wait and preach in obscurity for that long? And you feel that if you are put in that similar situation, you will despair along the line and you will lose heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this is what I'm preaching this evening. That there is a grace that God gives to people who are working with him so that daily, listen, I like one thing that Nkechi Ene said once, I was watching him or her on TV. You know, people have said that faith is now. Now it is faith. It must be today, now, if it is going to be faith. I've always wondered that where do we get that from? Abraham believed God. Do you understand my point? And he took a number of years. Do you follow the point I'm making? In case he said something. He said, faith doesn't know the time, which was the first time I was hearing it properly put. She said, faith doesn't know the time, but expects it every day. I don't know whether you understand my point. Every day, the person is expecting something. I have discovered, listen, that those who obeyed God in difficult times, you hear of David Livingstone, came to Africa. The man suffered and suffered, trying to preach the gospel, and you wonder, will you be able to do that? If they put you down like this, and say, we'll set you on fire, except you bow and say, nobody to bow. God knows in my heart I'm still standing. you get what I'm saying? Then you ask yourself, if they put me like that in front of Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace, will I be able to stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You settle down once in a while and think about this and you wonder. Let me tell you the news again. The fact is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't stand. It is that the Spirit of God made it impossible for them to bow. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Spirit of God did what? made it impossible for them to bow. It wasn't as if they were deciding to stand. It was just that earlier they had done things. Listen, they had made up their minds that we want to obey God in everything. So when the difficult time came, the Spirit of God took over. My favorite expression there is from the book of Ezekiel chapter 2. Now, this is a man who fell because there was an overpowering influence around. Then the voice said to him, verse 1 of chapter 2, "Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak to you." This was it. He had come to understand the will of God, which was what? Stand on your feet. But he didn't have the strength to do it himself. And this is the principle of obedience to God. That's what I want to explain. "And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet." God said, "Stand." Then the same God that said stand sent a spirit to raise the man up. Let me tell you something about God. When he wants to judge that man, he gives him the reward for standing. Not for having the strength to stand, but for yielding to the spirit that made him stand. Do you get my point? Let me tell you something about Christianity. A lot of people go to learn commandments and they want to obey. Listen, believers are not meant to do that. Believers are meant to be present. Listen to me. They are meant to feed on God's word so much that the word takes them over. Let me put it like this. They don't obey the word. The word obeys. I don't know how to say it. The word moves them. One day somebody was preaching. He said, "If you hear a prophecy, you must walk out the prophecy." So one brother came and asked me, said, "Is this true? Is it like that?" That he's wondering. I said, "No, it's not really like that." I said, "The prophecy works on you." Do you get my point? I said, "The prophecy works on you." People say, "Act on the word." I understand what they mean when they say act on the word. I said, "But that is half of the truth. In fact, it is inferior to half of the truth. The truth is that if you pay attention to the word, you know what it does? The word acts on you." I ended last week by explaining, well, towards the end, I was explaining certain things about spiritual principles. That human beings, get my point, they are a product of influences. The only thing about the personality of anybody is the ability to yield to certain influences. Do you get my point? I remember once, I just want to give it as an example. I still remember the tape. I think it was Building a Great Future Today or The Gospel of Abundance by Bishop David Oyedepo. Somebody had given me the tape and I brought it to where my friends were gathered. And it's not now, we were on campus then, I think I was still in school. And I remember that about three of my friends who I brought the tape to meet, they were going out to go and watch a movie in somebody's house. And this was, I think we had some free time. Let's just feel good, just relax. So they said, "Let's go and watch a film." And the tape was in their hand, the video cassette, and they were going to one of our friends' homes that had a video player and TV there. And I brought the tape. And the tape was going to go away. Now, do you understand? I want to talk about influences. And I remember that one guy, he sat down and he was wondering, "What do I do? Do I go for the, go and watch the movie or listen to the message?" And I remember I sat down coolly and I was watching him. The other people were saying, "Let us go. You can always listen to this tape another time." He looked at the video cassette in the hand. You know, when you want to go and watch one action movie and all of you had gotten ready for this Jackie Chan today, you know, that kind of thing. The guy looked at the tape. After a while, he said, "Guys, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll meet you later." He sat down. I put the tape in a player for him. I said, "Good." I told him, "You made the right decision." He sat down, I put the tape in, and for the next 1 hour, the guy was engrossed, swallowing everything that was coming from inside that tape. I'm bringing up something. See, what his life will become later is being dictated by the choice he made at that particular point in time. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is all you have as a believer. The ability to say, "I will listen to the tape," or "I will go and watch the movie." They can say, you know, you've heard me say this before. If Arsenal and Chelsea are playing the finals of UEFA Cup at 5 p.m., all right, on Saturday, and I'm supposed to teach a seminar that day, I cannot be persuaded to shift it by 1 minute because of those who want to watch football. In case you don't know it, it is pure entertainment. It does not affect your future. I will be a crazy man of God to shift the teaching of God's word for those who are so irresponsible. They don't know what is more important. Don't do that. If a church program is holding and everywhere is empty, he said, what's happening? He said, Man U is playing he's playing Arsenal. You know, for me, I tell some pastors to be angry. I don't know what I say, Lizzie, why are you angry? That should show you the important, the real people who are following God. Listen, nothing wrong with Man U and Arsenal. But everything has a place in life. Let me ask those people who would rather go there. If it was their exam, would they rather go and watch Man U? Ask them. And the Bible is talking about men discipline themselves for a crown that can perish. Now we are given the passport, the ability to obtain the crown that cannot perish. And you say, I should shift because some people want to go and watch football. That's their problem. You know, you should. I'm sure you know me by now. There are things that don't move me. You said people would have attended that program. It's just that that was the time they were playing the final of UEFA in Moscow. Mm-hmm. Listen, the interesting part is that the people that are really making real money from that thing are probably not watching it. They are too busy. They rather go for their business meeting than go and watch this thing. When men don't chop belly full, that's when they engage in something. Some people use precious time that they are so. Listen, to the playing of football, there shall be no end. The best player has not been born. You miss one today, they will play another one tomorrow. I'm explaining something. This is how people change their lives. You know, you've heard me say something I said the other day. Now, this is my persuasion. That I have an unction, all right? To make people prosper in life. Now, you've noticed I don't take special offering for your prosperity. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Yeah, because I don't believe that's the key to the prosperity. I really don't. I believe that when it comes to money matters, every believer should be responsible. And beginning from next week, I will begin to talk on money matters. I will explain some details about it. But you see, there is an unction. Do you understand my point? To succeed in life, it's a grace. And the way you contact it is by imbibing the word that contains it. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He said, the flesh profits nothing. All right? It is the spirit that gives life. Let me tell you what he was saying in simple English. He said, the physical things like the letter, the things you see, all right, or the sound you hear, in themselves, they don't mean anything. He said, it's what they carry really, okay, that matters. He said, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts life to those who receive it. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, the entrance of that word gives the people the ability to triumph. Do you get what I'm saying? That the word of God acts on people. People don't act on God's word. The word shapes your destiny. It directs where you go. That's why he said in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly and sit in the seat of scoffers and the way of sinners and all of that. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He didn't say, but he walks in the way of the righteous. What did he say? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night. What was he saying? If the man delights in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord compels him where not to sit. It compels him, forbidding him automatically from walking in certain places. It's automatic. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, the way to prosper in life is to hear the word that produces prosperity. Are you getting my point? It is not, you see, there are three realms to life. There is the physical realm. There is the, there's this mental realm. What you talk about, the realm of the soul, where people can think, they can plan, they can read a book and act upon the principles therein. But there is a spiritual realm that controls all the other things. Let's talk about prosperity as an example. You've heard it said, and it's a matter of fact, that it's not the man that works the hardest that earns the most. Is that not true? Then I remember watching, where they were actually repeating something Bill Clinton said, talking about development of the economy in America, that you have to develop that thing between your ears, that is your brain. That's another realm. That is, let's forget physical labor. There is a superior intelligence. You heard the joke about superior intelligence. There is a man with a superior intelligence that makes the most money, that prospers the most. That's the realm of the soul. And listen, each one of them can be developed. You can learn to work very hard and earn a lot of money. Then you can learn to use your brain to do the work and, like you say, make other people work for you and all of that. Use all those manipulatory methods and righteous ones. They're okay, no problem. And you get results. But there is a realm of the spirit, listen to me, that is more powerful than all these other things. And that's what Solomon discovered. He said, when I looked under the sun, it was as if time and chance happened to all men. Are you getting my point? Now, so Esau represented the man who could operate in the realm of the physical and in the realm of his soul, who could exert his energy, do a lot of thinking and get results. But Jacob represents the man who knows that except God blesses me, I won't succeed in life. So all he spends his energy doing is, how can I get this inheritance, this blessing that my brother doesn't want? Do you follow my point? Now, when a man contacts that realm, this point I'm making, this is how it works. I wish you would understand. Now, it doesn't mean that his soul will not be developed or his physical energy will not be developed. But suddenly, he becomes a lucky person. There are 10 books in the market. Do you follow what I'm saying? All of them containing different keys. I know keys work on different doors. There are certain books you have read, all the keys inside, they only open doors in America, and you're not in America. I'm telling you the truth. That's why I encourage Nigerians, please write books. Please write books. I'm a medical practitioner. I know one of the problems students have is that they read Oyinbo books too much. So they'll be, even some of my colleagues tell lies. They don't know their line. Cholesterol. I said, this is Africa, my friend. Is it that cholesterol is never a problem? I didn't say that. It is just generally, African man, his wahala is not with cholesterol. You don't, how much cholesterol do you eat? If a white man wants to eat, all right? If you go and eat, it is steak and something else. Do you want lamb chops with some potato? But our own is the other way around. It is pounded yam with, is it fish or meat? That is, it is the pounded yam that is the food. But a woman is the protein, the animal fat that is the food. He eats bread with a few slices of, he eats egg with a few slices of bread. We eat bread with one egg is shared amongst four people. Can you imagine a man telling you he's eating breakfast, bacon and eggs? Isn't that crazy? But that's his own, do you understand? His own problem. Typically, I know what I'm telling you. I'm not talking as an ignoramus. They say that our lifestyle is changing. I have seen it change. It hasn't changed much. When you become very rich, that's when you hire the cook that can make the best egusi soup. Is that not so? You don't say because you have now become rich, what you want to eat. You now get one Frenchman wearing a tall cap, says your chef. Give you French cuisine. You only use that one to impress your wife and small babes on weekend. In the evening, you drive to one place. You don't say, as a matter of fact, but this is not why they chop. Now, I'm not going to make up something. So if you're quoting problems, you go and check cholesterol, don't eat this. I say, you guys relax. If African man not get hypertension, he no go die. You see, let me just say it. I'm not saying cholesterol is not an issue. Just that when you're ranking it, it's like, look, your brake pads are more important than cholesterol in Nigeria. See what I mean? The condition of your brake pads, because you are more likely to die from a road traffic accident than from a heart attack. So instead of using money to be chasing cholesterol, use the money gather buy a better car with airbags. Look, I'm not joking about what I'm saying. I believe it. As of this year, we haven't changed enough for that to be priority. I'm talking about scale of preference. I'm just explaining the principle of different keys working for different people. You follow what I'm saying? So the white man has his own keys that unlocks a lot of doors. So I remember I'm talking about the blessed man. So the man walking the realm of the soul, there are 10 books in the market containing different keys, opening different doors. And you release the Esau and the Jacob into the market. The Esau gathers the 10 books and goes home and he starts reading. The Jacob scratches his head and says, Nana, wow. How man go do now? So you know what he does? He just says, I don't even get money, safe. Now only one, where have you buy? So he buys one book out of 10. It happens to be book number 9 of the lot. Esau is at home. He's on chapter 1 of book 1. He's reading sequentially. The Jacob man goes home with one book. It is the only one he bought because that's the only one he had money for. It turns out to be the only book that contains the key that opens his own lock. Do you get my point? So he opens that book, he reads it, and then he operates the keys inside, and he succeeds while Esau is still reading. I hope you are getting what I say. See, that's how the realm of the spirit works. It doesn't really have words. It has forces. It has influences. The words that come out are to communicate the forces. That is why, listen, no matter how good or how bad your English is, you listen to a message, you can get exactly the same amount of force. I don't know what I get. The man is there speaking plenty grammar, speaking English. You just hear only two things. And with those two things, God has poured the spirit inside you. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So that's how it works. So Jacob there just reads one book. Esau is reading everything. There are different keys in the books. Only that one can open the lock relevant to their environment. That was the only one Jacob read. And the man, you say, that guy is very lucky. He said, but this man read more than him. He said, that's why Solomon said, he appears as if time and what? Chance. Why did he pick only that book? It might be for a reason as silly as, I just like the color. The way they put the red and the blue, I think it's very nice. Or it can be as trivial as, I don't know how many of you remember Premier Lottery in Nigeria. Many years ago, Premier Lottery. How many of you remember? When Naira was still like a Naira to the dollar, or 75 kobo to the dollar, they were giving out 100,000 Naira as a star prize Premier Lottery. There was a girl that won in one particular day. How did she buy the ticket? It was a 1 Naira ticket or 50 kobo ticket those days. And she bought something and the person was wasting time with change. It's okay, if you don't have change, give me one Premier Lottery ticket. And bought one Premier Lottery ticket and won 100,000 Naira when Naira was 1 to a dollar. It can be as silly as that. But the man gets, do you get my point? He picks that book that contains his key. That's because there is a force pushing him which even he doesn't even recognize. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make here. You are getting what I'm saying. So look, that's how the power of God works. You walk in the realm of that spirit. And I will say something, that's how God wants us to walk. It is not by intellectual reasoning. It's good to, when we are teaching the word of God, we learn basic principles, things, how to step, how not to step, how to walk, and how not to walk. But the main thing you are getting is not the one your brain is imbibing. No, take that from you. It's not the one your brain is imbibing. It is the spirit that is being communicated while those words are rolling across. I mean, there are people I see, and I say, this fellow can never fail. Listen, he won't even die. How do I know? Because one day we were speaking, and he says, as an example, and several people have walked up to me like that, they say, for 3 years, we have listened to you every time you have spoken on radio. And they come and say, thank you, maybe they are leaving town. And in my mind, this guy can never die early, and he can never fail. He can never be average. Paul said, no, it's not as if we're educating ourselves. He said, our sufficiency is of God who has made us adequate as ministers of the new covenant. He said, we're an aroma. Now, look, one of the things I have learned is that, look, anybody who hears like that, God determined to bless the person and he sent the person to go and hear the word of blessing. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Everybody just said this one. This guy can never be poor. He can't be poor. It's too late now to be poor. Why? Because you talk to the fellow and it's, no, I'm serious. This is not, it's not a matter of pride. I didn't create me. I didn't call me to ministry. I didn't give me the anointing to teach. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I am an anointed person. I'm not bragging. Am I competing for a job with anybody? What am I trying to explain? There are people who say that they pray for 5 hours and study for 6 hours to prepare for a message. As God is my witness, all I need, all right, to preach a very powerful message is to be called up and given a microphone. It's not trying. No, I discovered it. In fact, it used to worry me that people, they pray and fast for days before they preach one message. Kick me out of my sleep. I say, Pastor Banky, please. 15 men have gathered. Any word for them? Where the mic? I'm not joking. No, I'm not joking about it. Listen, I've had desperate situations like that. But you know they fail. Once I just get down, settle my head, cool down, grab the mic. Sometimes all I need to say is the Lord. As soon as I finish saying the Lord is good, the message drops into my heart and I begin to preach it. I'm explaining something. Am I bragging? No. It's just my calling. It's called a gift. All right? That's what it's called, an anointing. That is why you will wake Jesus up from sleep. He will face what? The waves and say, peace be still. He was sleeping. There is this man I read. I saw him teach on TV. He was talking about the anointing. He said one day they invited him to come and preach somewhere. He traveled and he was sleepy. So when he entered the church, they were doing all the choir. Choir was performing. He sat down there and slept off on the chair. They thought he was in the spirit. He said he slept off. So the time that it was to call him up to come and preach was when somebody tapped him and said, sir, you have to go up now. He said, eh. That was when he woke up. As soon as he stood up to start walking forward, everybody on that row fell under the anointing. He woke up out of sleep. I'm going to tell you the meaning of the word anointing. He said he was asleep. They tapped him like, sir, you're going up now. And he got up. So he just picked his Bible and got up from the seat. Everybody sitting on the row where he was sitting fell forward. Nothing he planned. Ken Hagin and Jill Lake will tell you different experiences. I heard the story one. I think it was Ken Hagin finished ministry. And he was tired. He said, let him lean on somebody. Put his hand down the person's shoulder. The person flew 9 feet away from him. Now, I'm trying to tell you the meaning of the word anointing. It's not somebody tries it. That's what Paul was explaining in that 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Therefore, I hope you got my point. It's not anybody bragging. I'm explaining the principle. I have discovered this to be a matter of fact, and you will see it in life. That there is nobody who imbibes the truth that I preach. Listen, the person won't die early. If you were doomed for death too late, you are forced to live long. Number one. And number two, the reason is because they must prosper, succeed in the midst of adversity, that God might take glory from their lives. You are getting the point I'm making. So you see, to it's not as if the word of God, you now act upon it. No, that's what I'm trying to explain. It does what? It acts upon you. You come into a meeting feeling very hopeless. Then somebody prophesies and say, look, the curse upon you has been broken. You know, before you thought you were cursed because everything you didn't do. One young man asked me once, he said, oh God, this cursed thing, I don't understand. I said, what do you mean? He said, why is there everything I did? Everything I have done, they don't seem to work. I think I'm going to say, you are not cursed, my friend. You have just been doing the wrong things. It's a matter of fact. I said, there's no curse upon you. Some people have been walking with greed all their life. That's why God has been trying to train them. I said, which one is cursed? I said, you cannot succeed until the time of your success. There's a time for your success. I hope you know that. There's a time for your abundant breakthrough. Until that time comes, you can't break through. I told him, how many curses were upon Joseph? A special anointing of blessing was upon him. Yet it was leading him from one trouble to the other until the time was ripe for God's promise upon him to be fulfilled. He wanted me to pray. I said, I better forget prayer. You don't need prayer. Just carry your Allah away. You don't need prayer. Blessed man, you don't need any prayer. You're all right. Don't let Satan lie to you. You are very all right. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain here? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That you see, it is the spirit that works in you to make you now not only succeed now, but to obey God's will. And that's, you know, oh God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We'll read that our Hebrews chapter 3 today. We'll read that. We'll read it. Amen. I said we'll read it. As the time is going, but we'll read it. Amen. Yes. But I've said all of this to get a point across to us that, listen, it is not as if we try to obey God. Paul said, it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to what? Do. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't try. This is, I have come to understand that. They did not try. They did not try. Are you getting me? They didn't try not to bow. It was not possible for them to bow. The strength to bow had been withdrawn from them. Are you following my point? It wasn't that time they made the decree. Long before, I told you that, look, what you will be in life, you make those decisions when there's no pressure. Then when the pressure comes, the Spirit of God carries you. That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. You hear what I said? Listen, you know, you've heard me say this again. You know, widow of Zarephath is my major problem in life now. All of you know. Because the woman has been misrepresented. So I need to align the thoughts about her correctly. I said, listen, it is not when a prophet, listen, it's not when a prophet appears at your door and says, give your last meal, that you start giving last meals. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. It is not. The other meal she gave, it was while meal was plenty. Rain was still falling. There was still prosperity in the atmosphere. A stranger who was just plain hungry knocked and said, madam, good morning. Please, I never chop. Anything, D? Are you getting my point? And she gave. A son of the prophet passing by, probably one day just slow down near her door, and she gave. Do you get what I'm going to say? She had been given to those who didn't have before. Therefore, God poured the spirit of faith into her the day a prophet showed up with a word that was going to really, really liberate her from her troubles. What am I trying to say? You don't wait in the midst of famine and you now come and give one emergency breakthrough offering, thinking that tomorrow God will send Elijah with an anointing. It doesn't work like that. Do you get my point? Listen, that's one problem. Let me tell you the truth. Hear me now. If you were wealthy at the time and you became broke, and you started giving while you were broke, something's wrong with you, and you will not get any breakthrough. I'm prophesying to you that you will not get any breakthrough. But you will first kneel down and repent and say, God, for being selfish in the days of my prosperity, have mercy upon me. Do you get what I'm saying? Because you see, the gifts you have been given is still part of your selfishness. When you were plenty, you remembered only yourself. Now that you are lean, you are still remembering only yourself. Except that somebody said the only way to get more for yourself is to take out of the lean one that you have. What am I explaining? How will such a person come out of his troubles? He will kneel down and pray and ask for forgiveness. Do you get my point? And afterwards, listen to this. It is not a matter of trying to get for myself now, but afterward, I start living a life of generosity. Whether God gives or he doesn't. Do you get my point? And then the person is restored back into time of abundance. Now, please, get what I'm trying to explain. Let me not digress into that. So I'm saying that woman was able, just as an example, she was able to give in the time of difficulty, not because of her determination to give, but because she had been generous in the time of her abundance. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Therefore, God poured the spirit into her, making it automatic for her to obey Elijah. And listen to me, the way it must have gone on in her mind was that even if he's lying, at least he's hungry. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. That is, the spirit of generosity that was in her before was willing to give the man. Please get what I'm trying to say. I'm still emphasizing one point, that obedience to God, all right, is engineered by God himself if the heart is right. At least let me read this scripture. Please, I hope you've been getting my point. All right. Now, please go back there. Let's read from that Hebrews chapter 3. Now, what I want to do, most certainly, maybe next time we'll complete it, or let me see how far I can go on it today. Now, from verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him. Now, I don't want to read everything because of that, but there's something there. He brought up the issue that Jesus is a high priest of our what? All right. Now, let's jump down, talking about that Jesus Christ. Let's go down to verse 12. It said, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, please, what he's talking about here, let me just quickly explain, is the fact that people disobeyed God. They knew the will of God, but they walked against the will of God. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Remember what I'm discussing is how to obey God's will when you have discovered it and you discover that there's no strength inside you to do that will. And I've said all of this that I have said to explain a principle that it is not your strength that God needs, even when it comes to obeying him, but he wants to supply the strength with which you will obey. Do you get the point? So that's what he's trying to explain. Now, he was not giving an example of people who had disobeyed in the past. So he said, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the Lord. He said, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Now, please notice something that verse 13, what did he say? Encourage one another. That is one way by which you will not fall away from the living God through disobedience is by what? Encouragement. The kind of company that you keep. You know, I said that before. I just want to emphasize it. I said if you're a married man and adultery is not to be your portion, you shouldn't be in city center at night hanging out with those who have left their wives at home. Maybe you just married and they say they want to induct you to the club of married men. And all the babas with one or two girlfriends, one has divorced his wife and married another one, they all gather and they put communion, they set it to communion table. You know the communion table? It's wine. It's still communion, I told you that before. And they want to start breaking bread because you have just gotten married. You know what's happening? You are drinking the spirit of adultery. If I were your wife, I would divorce you that day. Because you have written, listen, you have written what your future will be like. Is that not what we are reading here? So that he said, let's encourage one another. You go and gather with the people who have set an example of disobedience. And they want to do an initiation service with you. And they are sharing communion. They break bread. Usually it is suya and chicken that they break. And then they pour wine, gouda and stout and that kind of thing. It is what? Communion. You are drinking of their spirit. Let's leave that and continue. Hey, what I'm telling you is true. It is true. It is very true. It's not as if they just influence you. They are not influencing you. You have drunk their spirit and you have gone. That is, you have collected the spirit. You have collected what? The spirit. In the same manner you want obedience to God, you know what you do? You gather amongst those who are obeying God. Men, listen. Men whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Then, communion, there are different levels of communion. There's the one you go to church and you share. That is communion. Do you follow my point? It is communion. But there's a kind of communion which you don't have to formally bless the wine and bless the bread. You just sit down and you share food and you share words and you share a drink. And as you are, listen, where food is flowing, spirit they flow well. You think I'm joking? When you are sharing food, the spirit is flowing. So you are sharing amongst good people. You are a businessman. You gather amongst godly business people as they are talking. Do you understand what I mean? As they are talking, your idea, even what they don't say, you leave the place with something they did not say. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you, when you get to short circles, sounds funny, but try this. Even if nobody buys the drink, you buy the drink. Make sure everybody is drinking. That's how the spirit is jumping up and down. Can be coke, can be anything, just be drinking. The important thing is not the bottles, but the people who are gathered around the bottle. Oh God, I wish you would understand. These are spiritual principles. You go to a village, Christmas is coming. He said they are doing youth age group festival. They sacrifice a goat, break bonded yam, break bottles, and all of you gather together. And you are, listen, all their bad habits, you are drinking it. When you become a big man, let me tell you how to handle your age group when you go home. Tell them, come and do it in my house. I will buy the food. Come, everybody come and eat and drink. Before they start, you say an opening prayer. Declare your testimony. In this place, new things are about to begin because I am the light of the world. Anybody who drink, who eats your food and drinks your wine, he is ready to receive of your spirit. Don't kneel in their circle to gather together and put hand over you. What nonsense. They won't like me. Do you need them to like you? Go and succeed first. Just watch. Go out and go and succeed first and come back. That's when you hear, he has come. Everybody will gather. Say, oh, how are you people? Oh, sit down. Then you give them your own communion again. And you guys want to say, look, listen, believers, we have a stronger spirit. Let's not walk like slaves amongst men. We are kings and princes with God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now let's go and read in the scripture. He said, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today. He said, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because that's how people get hardened. When they stay on their own, and every man's ways are right in his own eyes. Listen, you don't have an option. You don't have a choice. The only way to succeed, the only way to walk consistently in a manner pleasing to God is to be found in the center of good Christian fellowship. He said, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. If you read from verse 16, he was now talking about the fact that they provoked him. He said, who provoked him when they had heard? What was he saying? It was those who disobeyed the word of God. It was when they heard and they still disobeyed that God was provoked. And that's what we're talking about. How do we hear and what? Obey. Now, remember we introduced that chapter 3 by looking at the fact that we have an apostle and high priest of our confession. Then I went in chapter 4, trying to explain those principles further. He said, now, because some people disobeyed, and therefore they died in the wilderness, he said, therefore, verse 1 of chapter 4, let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. That is, they did not believe and obey that word. Now, he said, for we who have believed enter the rest. I'm going somewhere. Where I'm going is actually very far. I'm trying to build up to it. Now, what he was saying is this, that when God's word comes, obedience to it is how you enter into rest. And what Paul was explaining, what this book of Hebrews was explaining, is how people will come to the position of obedience so that they can enter into the rest of God. Now, please, let's jump down to verse 9. He said, there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. For this reason, verse 11, he said, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Now, this is where our talk actually begins. Verse 12, he said, what did he say? For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart. Please, let me just quickly read on. He said, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in the time of need. Then he went on to explain some characteristics of that high priest. Please let me just read this verse and then I will leave it. Now he says that for verse 7. He said, in the days of his flesh, talking about this high priest, he offered up both prayers and supplications, notice that, with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared. I like the King James expression there. King James said he was heard because he what? He feared. He said, therefore, now notice this, He said, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Now, let me just stop there. That's what I wanted to read. I read a long portion. Let me summarize what I have read. Because of our time, I'll probably develop it next time. What have we read? The point is that, number one, it's the same thing I've been saying. God speaks, he gave them a promise. Now, having heard the promise, they disobeyed. Therefore, they displeased God and they died in the wilderness. He said, now that we have seen this, we should be afraid, lest anybody follow the same example of what? Disobedience. Don't forget, I told you the promises of God, the word of God doesn't ever leave anybody neutral. You either are blessed by it or you are judged by it. He said, because we understand this, we should be afraid, all right? So that we don't follow that example of disobedience. But then, they had the word preached to them, but they were not able to obey. How do we therefore walk in such a manner that we have the word preached to us and we are able to obey? He said, this is the issue. The word of God is alive and active. Now, let me summarize it. It doesn't demand your obedience. It works upon you if you believe it. That's what it means when it says the word is alive and active. Listen, people look at the word of God as a set of instructions. No, he said, this is not what it is. It is something that is alive. It works. It's able to do work inside your soul. He said, now that you understand this, what do? You use the same principle that Jesus used so as to obey God on the earth. Listen, people say Jesus could not have sinned. Listen, there are two ways to look at it. Did he have the human capacity to sin? Yes or no? Yes, he did. Otherwise, the Bible would not have said he was tempted the same way we were tempted. Do you get my point? You can't say he was tempted the same way I'm being tempted if he had no capacity to obey the temptation. That wouldn't be a temptation. He said, but how did he handle it? He said, in the days of his flesh, he offered both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. How do you enter into death? It is through sin. So he cried to one who was able to deliver him from the temptations he was facing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And he was heard in that he feared. If you read some scriptures, it said he was pious. He was right. No. The literal word is that he feared. That is, he saw the dangers. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He saw the dangers and he pulled back because of the dangers. He said, no, I will not disobey God. He said, follow the impulses of your heart, but know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. That is, we have come to understand that you don't misbehave on campus and quickly go and repent before you leave campus. So you now look like a good person. You have sown a seed. It will germinate in 20 years time. Listen, true repentance is what God needs before he applies the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. It's not magomago repentance. You know my magomago repentance? At least that's one phase. I remember a friend of mine. He said that was then. We chopped life. Girls, this and that. But now it's time to settle. In my heart, you made a mistake. You have buried the seed. That's what they are saying. You are ready, we can't see it, but it's growing beneath. One day, it will shoot a blade. Then it will begin bear fruit. Then one day, the fruit will mature, it will begin drop, and you won't know where it began from. Listen, the part of the things I'm teaching on radio now, sin, listen, is the reason why people will not do well in life. Please, I hope we are getting my point. He said, what about this man? I said, you don't know what he will have become, and you don't know what he's going through right now. Forget what newspapers write about people. There are people who are broke, busted, and disgusted that you think they are big men. Get what I'm going to say? That is, we have come to understand that there are things you don't do if you want to fulfill God's destiny for your life. Therefore, you don't determine, I won't do it, because there are pressures out there. That's what we are saying. So what do? We draw near to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help on the time of temptation. Because time is gone, I have to continue this next time. I will explain in practical terms how you use the word of God, the truth you have discovered, to pray. Listen, let me summarize it like this. The only thing a believer has as strength is what? Prayer. Let me tell you how to handle temptations and the challenges of life. Write them like a letter. And go to the temple like Hezekiah. You know what I'm saying? carry the newspaper, carry all the bad letters, carry all the negative evidences. Carry doctor's report if necessary. Carry reports of, download reports of IMF from the internet if necessary. Spread them on the floor. Read them. Don't close your eyes. Abraham considered his body. Are you getting my point? He was not an ignoramus. You have left school. Don't deceive yourself that there are no jobless people out there. There are. Get the statistics of the degree of joblessness. Put it down. And then kneel in front of it. Say, Holy Spirit, read that letter. I'm waiting for you to finish. Have you finished that report? Read the next one. This is what IMF said. This is what everybody has said. Do you know why I'm here? Because I've heard the word of God. I've heard Pastor Banky teach. I have read my scripture. I read this man's book. I read Ken Hagin's book. I heard Bishop Oyedepo say this. I watched Pastor Poju on TV. And all what they all said is contrary to what these reports are saying. That is a promise I have come to claim. Are you getting what I'm saying? But these are the challenges. These are the things that make a man fear. Because you know fear is a trouble on his own. These are the things that men see and their hearts begin to feel. Therefore, Lord, I have come to receive strength. I don't want to disobey you because, you see, I told you, when you go to pray, stop speaking English. You know what I mean by English. Lord, we have come to approach your throne with grace in our hands. And we know that you are the God that does not fail. And because you did not fail in the beginning, you will not fail tomorrow. When you were making Jupiter, all heavens were standing erect. Listen, my friend, you were not there. Why are you lying? Which heaven was standing erect? Where were you? Say it simply. God, you know why I have come today? I did fear. One of my friends called me one day. One of my younger friends. He said one day when he saw things happening, he suddenly saw a picture of what he would be like when he's 30, when he's 40. And he became afraid. And he cried and cried. He said, no wonder you will do well in life. That is when you enter that kind of situation, you're about to make it big. If you know what to do with it, you say, God, this is what I have seen. Because sometimes people profess faith because they are so ignorant, they don't know what's going on. They don't know the troubles, the challenges a young man, a young woman has to face. They say they have faith. Do you get my point? He said he looked at his life and that is watching what was happening to other people, watching where he was coming from. Suddenly fear gripped him and he began to cry. He was afraid. And he saw the experience he has had over the last few months, few years, when nothing was happening. He suddenly began to cry. I've had people call me at different times and say, sir, I am afraid. In my mind, very good. You see, you must get to a position where you understand that there is cause to be afraid. Then you gather the things, put them, this is where Christianity is sweet. Did I hear the word sweet? Yes. This is where it is sweet. You put it down and read it simply to God. This is why I am afraid. This is why I have come. What have I come for? I don't want to disobey. I don't want fear to grip me. I know according to the word that I have heard your minister speak, according to what I have read from the scriptures, this is what my future will be like. Therefore, I have come to receive mercy and grace to help so that my heart will not faint, so that I will obey that which I have discovered you are communicating to me. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up, pack your rubbish report, burn it, and go away. You know what happens? The Bible says there is a peace of God that passes all understanding. That is, even you will not understand this crazy confidence. The next day you come out. They say, look at all the troubles. They say, small thing. Listen, by the time I'm 40, I'll be a billionaire. I will buy that thing. I'll create this amount of jobs. I will do that. And say, look at you. And suddenly, listen, the ability to doubt has vanished. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's not a matter of, hey, in Jesus' name, I wonder. No, the doubt has died. When they say, sell your birthright for a morsel of meat, he said, what? Do you know what this birthright is worth? Suddenly the confidence that grips you. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Satan knows when he sees a confident man. The troubles of life, there are troubles that go near your door. They smell your confidence, they go away. They are just passing, looking for whom they may devour. And as they are passing, the trouble comes. And then he hears you discussing with a friend of yours. And you are discussing, say, leave them. See all this calamity that's befalling them. It's good. God is setting us up and we're about to take over everything. Satan will look in front and say, why waste time here? There are more vulnerable prey to. There are people who are already afraid. Let's put more fear into them. Do you get my point? Listen, I'll develop that again next time. But the point I'm making is this. That is the key that you and I have as believers. It is not the ability to read and recite. Anybody can do that. It is not the ability to read all the business principles of life. Anybody can do that. Listen, it is the ability to have the confidence that is infused into you by God that Satan will smell. Listen, you know what is happening to the children of Israel? When the mountains hear they are coming, they change their position. There are troubles that will smell your confidence that God will pour into you and they won't even come near you. Do you get the point? Listen, that's the key that you have. That's what I have. That is what Jesus used while he was on earth. It's not about being a strong man. It's knowing where to go and gather strength from when it appears like you are weak. I hope you've gotten my point.